Good evening, First Baptist family and friends, and welcome to the First Baptist Church prayer service for the first Wednesday in Black History Month, February 2nd, 2022. This is Cynthia Tinsley, your facilitator for tonight, and I have two things for you to keep in mind. Number one, please quiet all background noise when the line is unmuted. Please quiet your phones, your conversations, your televisions, your radios. And number two, all program participants for this evening should leave their phones unmuted and wait until I call your name before speaking. We will now begin with our prayer of thanksgiving and praise by Deacon Orpheus Tucker.
Good evening. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for we confess our need for you today. We need your healing and your grace. We need hope restored. We need to be reminded that you work on behalf of those you love constantly, powerfully, completely. Forgive us for trying to fix our situations all on our own. Forgive us for running all different directions and spinning our wheels to find help, when true help and healing must be found first in you. Forgive us for forgetting how much we need you above everyone and everything else. We come to you and bring you the places we are hurting. You see where no one else is able to fully see and understand. You know the pain we carried, the burdens, the cares. You know where we need to be set free. We ask for your healing and your grace to cover every broken place. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
We will now have a scripture reading by Sister Judy Spann.
Good evening. I will read Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless the reading of the word. Amen.
We will now have a prayer by Deacon Cecil Dryden.
Good evening, church, and friends, and families. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Heavenly Father, I come for you today as a humble servant of yours. We love you very, very much. I come on behalf of not just me, but First Baptist family, friends, and anyone who's on the line who would listen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, for your love, your understanding. When you know we're wrong, you will accept what we do, but knowing that we're just talking, and you know what's best for us, dear Lord. Sometimes we fall short, and we won't say, forgive us, Lord, for our sins, and what we have done that didn't please you, Lord. But we hear, Father, every day, just to want to praise your holy name, to pray without ceasing and not stop, just continue to give you all the honor and the glory. Just want to say thank you. Father, there's so much stuff going on in this world today that only you can fix it. You know, the COVID and people robbing each other, people hating each other. There's no love like it used to be. But Father, you're going to bring all that back, I know. I'm just prepared for you to come and just show your face, show exactly what you're going to do to us. You're just giving us time, dear Lord, to get ourselves together. And I thank you so much for what you're doing and already done. I am just so grateful. I am so wonderful to have a pastor like we have in so many years, Lord, and his family and the church members and friends on the line. Father, it's good to know you. It's good to love you, good to honor you. Good to give you all the glory. And it's the grateful person to wake up every morning, all of us, to see another day. We know for a fact it's not promised to us, but you give it to us anyway. Comfort those who are going through a bereavement or whatever it is, and sicknesses, but also those who think they don't need you, show them, dear Lord, they need you. Show them how much they need you, Father. One day at a time, Lord, we'll see every day somebody have another testimony or something to let them know that you did it. Because everything that that's done, it comes through you. We just love you and adore you and praise you and honor you. Just want to give you all the honor and the glory. In the blessed name of Jesus the Christ, I do pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
This is now your time to speak directly to the Lord during our 2-minute closed mic prayer. We will now have a prayer by Deacon Reginald Hardman.
Good evening, First Baptist Church family. Let us look to the Lord, from whence cometh our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. Most heavenly, holy, and awesome God, we come to you this evening, first and foremost. We want to say thank you. Thank you for being so extremely good to us. We know you didn't have to. Not that we deserved it, not that we earned it, but your mercy and your grace showered down on us. And we say thank you. You gave your only begotten Son, Jesus the Christ, to hang, bleed, and die for us, that we may have a right to the tree of life, that we could be reconciled back to you. We love you, Lord. We praise and honor you. We lift you up and we magnify your holy name. You've been so good to us, God. Words cannot describe how good you've been. Our hearts overflow with joy. They do somersaults and flips because you are so good to us. And we have to be careful not to get so up that we think we are doing things on our own. For we know that without you, we can do nothing. And with you, everything is possible. We thank you for our church family. Thank you for each and every member. We ask you to bless us one and all. You know what we stand in need of, individually and collectively. And Father, we ask you to supply all of our needs. You're able. We are confident and we are knowing that you will do what you would say, what you said you would do. You said you would never leave us nor forsake us. And God, we know you're here. We feel your presence. Thank you for the preacher tonight. Be with him as he gives us words of encouragement along life's way that we can carry with us today, tomorrow, and always. Help us to be better today than we were yesterday, and better still tomorrow. Thank you for the pastor of our church. Thank you for all the official members. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. If we had 10,000 tongues, we could not thank you enough. And I don't know what to say when I pray. Don't know what to ask for you to supply all my needs. But I want to just reach out and say, I love you, Lord, and I praise you. I want to say, forgive me for my sins and help me to be a better person. Help me to help others along life's highway. And Father, you know what all of us need. Everybody needs your love and kindness direction. So we say thank you in advance for what you're going to do. Thank you for each and every blessing you have given us. We praise you. Now, I don't mean to pray so long, but there's so many things I want to say. So you know the secrets of my heart, and I ask you to delve inside and examine them and take all selfishness away from me and let me be sharing and loving and kind to everyone along this highway. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
We will now have a musical selection, followed by our inspirational speaker, the Reverend Dr. Michael Armstrong, who is the pastor of Colesville United Methodist Church.
Praise be our God. I do indeed love the Lord and just wish to walk and talk with him each and every day. First, giving honor to our favorite and faithful Father, to the blessed and beloved Son, and to the powerful, pervasive presence of God's Holy Spirit. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be with you on this evening. To my mentor and friend and brother, Pastor Tucker, to the Reverend clergy, officers, members, and friends of First Baptist, it is indeed a great joy to join you during this sweet hour of prayer, a place where we can come and unburden our hearts and be empowered and enriched for the journey. Tonight, for our thoughts comes from a passage of scripture familiar to many in the book of Hebrews, that 11th chapter. And I want to just pick out verses 5 and 6, and it reads thusly, "By faith Enoch was taken so that he did not experience death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For it was attested before he was taken away that he pleased God. And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would approach him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seeks him." Thus ends the reading in the New Revised Standard Version of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 5 and 6. If I were to put a tag on this text this evening, it would be a walking witness. Now let me take a moment to back into this text, if you will. Walking is one of the most important functions in life and living for most of us, with mobility of our limbs. It's important for us to get from point A to point B. It's a vital mode of transportation for some of us, and in fact is one of the most primitive modes of travel there is. Walking is a blessing many of us take for granted until we encounter those with issues that walking is difficult for. We then know how blessed we really are. Now, let's be clear, that's not to say those who aren't able to walk aren't blessed, because God has granted them other blessings of mobility. I'm simply saying that sometimes we take for granted our blessing of walking. It's been determined that walking, in fact, by our doctors, who suggest that it's good for our health. Research teaches us walking is a great way to improve and maintain one's overall health. Just 30 minutes a day can increase cardiovascular fitness, strengthen bones, reduce excess body fat, and boost the muscle power and endurance in our bodies. In fact, it helps to lower the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, and other cancers. Many may not know that walking also is an indicator of one's personality, according to research. In an article entitled, "Seven Things You Can Determine About Someone's Personality Based on the Way They Walk," in this study from 2017, it showed that there was an intimate relationship between our style of walking and our personality traits. The study found that fast walkers are more outgoing. Slow walkers are more cautious. Anxious folks veer left when walking. Saunterers are confident when walking. Harried walkers tend to be detail-oriented. Graceful walkers tend to have high self-esteem. And walking with slumped shoulders means someone's protecting themselves. Who knew that all of that was being communicated when one walks? But walking also has simply some function of well-being. For some, walking is an opportunity to experience the beauty of nature. For others, walking serves a relational function. When walking with a loved one, one can have intimate conversation. Or walking with a pet, one begins to nurture and connect with that animal. Walking can also have spiritual well-being. For one can commune with God and God's great creation. I believe our text of the evening falls into this latter importance of walking, because the text says Enoch walked with God. We do not know how much Enoch walked with God, except he walked with God a long time, meaning we don't know daily how much time he actually walked, but the text says he walked with God, and it was important. Now, it's true, we don't know much about Enoch except that he walked with God. All that we know about Enoch is tied up in Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24, and in Jude, and also this passage in Hebrews. We know, according to Genesis, that Enoch lived 65 years begot Methuselah, and after he begot Methuselah, Enoch began his walk with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters, so that all of his years were 365. He walked with God, if we would do the math, 300 years. What a testimony to say that we've walked with God 300 years. This period of time is known as the antediluvian period. It's an age just before the flood. According to biblical writ, the people had lived a long time in those days, and Enoch was just the seventh generation from Adam and Eve. But already the world had grown evil according to the scriptures. The Bible tells us humanity from the time of Adam and Eve fell from God's grace. People grew wicked very quickly. And the chapters in Genesis, in those early chapters, tell us that the first death took place, or if you will, murder. There was an occasion for lust when Lamech, who took to himself two wives, and the first descriptions of covetousness and greed. And then the word tells us that another entity of God's creation had fallen. The fallen angels actually took on human form and had relations with the daughters of men, the scripture said. In other words, the world was running amok. Not unlike very much in our day, where so much is running amok. Genesis says in the sixth chapter, the fifth verse, "Then the Lord saw that wickedness of humanity was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of human hearts was only evil continually." This was a world considered by God so bad that God ultimately would destroy the entire world except for those who were saved in the ark with Noah. Although humanity's wickedness grew, the fact is God still cared for those in the earth. Though there was evil running rampant, God's mercy and grace was still available. But wickedness was running in that world as wickedness runs in our world. Wickedness where there's a total disregard for justice, righteousness, truth, honor, and virtues. A total disrespect for God and others and even themselves sometimes. Wickedness that leads to depravity, sinfulness, oppression, and other destructive acts. We've witnessed some evilness in these last few days ourselves. Callous carjackings, menacing murders, civilians and police officers, frivolous fire setting, killing firefighters, and a powerful politician playing and planning to prey upon the poor and powerless nations. Wickedness is all around us as well. And as we read in these scriptures, that Enoch, who lived these 365 years, spent the bulk of them walking with God. He recognized and realized for his life to have meaning, he needed to walk with God. Like many, he probably at the beginning of thinking of what he would do as he raised this son, that he wanted to be in right relationship with God. We don't know, because we don't have written testimony of what brought him to the point of his conversion to walk with God. There's no clear biblical evidence. It could have been the wickedness in the world that caused him to wonder about God. It could have been his own wicked, wanton ways that caused him to want to walk another way, to be an example for his son. It could have been a witness of Abraham, who used to walk with God in the coolness of day, that he heard about. It could have been witnessing the walk of someone else who walked with God. We just don't know. But what we do know is scripture teaches us that it was the habit of some in his day to call on the name of the Lord. Genesis tells us that when people began to call on the name of the Lord, God draws near to them. Enoch, no doubt, was one of those who had called on his name. And I suggest to us, people of God, as we have gathered in prayer today, that we need to spend more time calling on God so that we will have a walk worthy of God and our walk will become a witness for God, because there's so much wickedness around us that we need to walk with God more closely each and every day. When the scriptures talks about walking with God, yes, there is that literal sense sometimes of walking foot to the step beat of God, but it also sometimes means it in a metaphorical way. It means to walk with God means that we have changed our behavior, we have changed the way we walk, we've changed the way we live our lives, we've changed our walking habits, that we want to become in our walk the embodiment and exhibit an example and exemplar of godly life and living. And that's what Enoch really did. He changed his life around to walk with God and people of God, the real truth of the matter is, what do people say about us in our daily walk? Do they look at us and say, there goes a man, a woman, a child of God? Is it that our walk is so close with God that people notice it just in our life and living? Because Enoch's testimony is to walk with God is to make a difference in how you live your life. Well, there are three things I want to just quickly highlight and move out the way. What was important about Enoch's walk with God? I'm glad you asked the question because you always ask the right questions at First Baptist. Enoch's walk with God was a witness to a wayward world. You see, it appears that Enoch's walking with God gave him some divine revelation that he would share, even in the naming of his son, what was about to happen in the world. His son Methuselah, his firstborn. Methuselah comes from two root words, meth, a root that has connotations of death, and Methuselah, which means to bring or to send forth. And when put together in the English vernacular, scholars have interpreted this to mean that his death shall bring forth. And then there are, if you will, what does it bring forth? Our question comes, that when he dies, something shall happen. Well, the truth of the matter is we know through history now that his death would bring about the flood. The fact is Enoch's walk with God gave him revelation from God, that he knew what was coming, so much so that when he knew what was coming, he named it in his son. But then he took the time to get a word from God to give to a wayward world. Now, that's a witness for God, that when you can tell the world what's about to happen, to warn the world of its waywardness and what God will do if they don't turn it around. You see, Enoch's ensuing prophecy to a wayward world was found in the book of Jude. When in Jude, that first and only chapter, verses 14 and 15, records, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and with all the harsh things with ungodly sinners have spoken against him. You see, this text is telling us that God's judgment is real, and it does come. But I hope that you don't miss the grace note that's hidden between the lines in these passages. Although there is the judgment of God, there is first and foremost always the grace of God. God withheld judgment for a long time from the people of God in that day as he has in this day. You see, Methuselah would live to be a ripe old age, finally dying, as scripture would say, a whopping 969 years of life before dying. God held off judgment so the people could get right with God. That's why we've got to spend time with God and pray to God for our own walk with God and pray for our world, that we will have a word for them of hope and vitality to help them turn it around when they've walked in a wanton and wayward way. You see, God is looking for some new prophets who will speak truth to power, some new prophets that will speak about the impending judgment, but also about the loving grace of God that comes to rescue. God is looking for some new prophets who will walk with him, that he might talk with them and give them a word to say. Enoch's walk allowed him to see down through the ages of time and really to speak about the glorious return. Yes, there was judgment in his day, but we know there is yet a judgment to come when Jesus will come again. He prophesied for his day, but also for our day. And we, the people of God, in these, as the old folks used to say, last and evil days, must be a walking witness that there's a better way to walk. But next, Enoch walked with God, was pleasing to God. Don't miss that in the text. What does a life pleasing to God really look like? Again, First Baptist, you ask the right question, because every Christian struggles with that question from time to time. Hebrews 11 not only gives us an answer to the question, but also paints a picture through the life of Enoch, that the man of faith whose life was pleasing in the eyes of God had faith. Faith is the watchword in the text. Enoch mentioned only a few times in Scripture, but what's most known about him is that he walked with God and he pleased God in his walk. Why was that? Because he recognized that faith was important. As the Hebrew writer tells us, that without faith it is impossible to please God. You know, the writer did not say that without faith it's difficult to please God, or without faith you will have to work hard to please God. No, he categorically says it's impossible to please God without faith. People of God, we've got to have a lasting faith in times when we see so much trouble around us. You see, so often when we look around us, our faith begins to wane and waver because we wonder where God is. But we got to trust God that God is still in charge and God still has our best interest at heart, and that God will blaze in to do what is needed and necessary. We've got to live by faith, a faith that reminds us that it is by God's grace that we are saved through our faith, and that's not of ourselves. It's what God has given us, and it will never be by our works that we can boast on. God expects faith from us to trust him intimately, even when times are difficult and hard to trust. Enoch was pleasing to God because he lived his life by faith in God, but he also walked with God. That's simply to say he had intimate communion with God. His walk with God was much like that song that was heard earlier. He walked and talked with God, and God walked and talked with him. He had intimate communication and communion with God. In other words, I say that people of God, we've got to spend some time with God in prayer, in study, that God might speak to us. Yes, we might walk around and hear the very voice of God speaking to our hearts, but make sure it's the voice of God and not your own thinking. Sometimes we can get it confused if we're not careful. The old joke goes that one day an old farmer looked up and saw in the sky GPC. And he said, oh, God is saying, go preach Christ. But as he went to attempt to do so, he found out that that GPC really meant go pick corn. The fact is, God speaks to us, but we must hear his voice. And it can only happen that we know his voice when we spend time with God. Too often in our culture, people are trying to gain fame and fortune, but not concerned about pleasing God. Too many in our culture are trying to make a name for themselves, but not making sure their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. Too many in our culture are trying to have power, prestige, and position in life, rather than tapping into the power of God that positions one for real prestige. Too many in our culture are trying to live fulfilling earthly lives, rather than making a faithful life in this life that leads to eternal life. Our testimony ought to be, our prayer ought to be, is that we pleased Almighty God. But lastly, Enoch's walk with God was wonderfully rewarded by God. But let's get it straight, what his first reward was. Enoch's walk with God was rewarding within itself. You see, the fact is, sometimes we continue to look for the tangible things from God and miss sometimes the intangible things that God gives us. That's the fact that God gives us God's presence and time to be in fellowship with us is a reward that God gives us. This text reminds us through Enoch's story that we must draw near to God, and in so doing, God draws near to us. And in God drawing near to us, we get to know God and know that God exists and that God rewards those who spend the time diligently seeking God. This text is a reminder to us that drawing near to God as time draws near is even more important. The reward itself is that God will commune with us, will sit with us, will be with us, will fellowship with us, have communion with us. That's a reward unto itself. Enoch was given access to God, as we are given access to God by the shed blood and sacrifice of Jesus the Christ. The fact is, too often we expect rewards that are transactional, that come with tangible benefits, but forget that it's really about the relational rewards of being with the eternal God that makes a difference. When God is our Heavenly Father, we are engrafted into the family of God. That's a reward too, because the fact is, apart from God, we are all nothing, but in God, we are God's children, and that's a reward. The fact is, when we do what God has asked, that we love God with our whole heart, our soul, and our strength, with our mind, and our neighbor as we love ourselves, we fulfill what God expects of us. That's a part of our daily walk. To walk with God is to love God totally with our words and our actions, to love others by our words and actions, and to deny our senseless, sinful, selfish selves. When we do this, the Father will reward us openly. You see, I love this passage. Enoch walked with God by faith and not by sight. He walked with God as a child of the light. He walked with God in wisdom, walked with God in love, walked with God in peace, walked with God in hope. Enoch, walking with God, as Genesis 25:24 says, he was then no more because God took him. What a testimony that he did not have to taste death, that God just came by and walked away with him. He lived a life in this life of faith, and when time was done for him down here, God walked him off into the heavens. I don't know about you, but my hope and aspiration is to walk and talk with Jesus daily so that one day he'll come and I'll be able to walk away with him. I don't know about you, but I love that old song that's sung in the church. I want Jesus to walk with me. I want him to walk me with me along my pilgrim's journey. I want Jesus to walk with me, whether it's in my trial, in my sorrow, in whatever troubles I face. I just want Jesus to walk with me so that one day I can sing that old gospel song that the caravans used to sing, that one day, one of these old mornings, it won't be long, you'll look for me and I'll be gone. I'm going to a place where I'll have nothing to do but walk around heaven all day. Because when I get to heaven now, I'm going to sing and shout. Nobody there will be able to put me out. My loved ones will be waiting, and we'll walk around heaven because the Lord has walked with me down here. One day he'll walk me from this life to another day. And every day will be Sunday. Sabbath will have no end, and they'll do nothing in heaven but sing and praise him throughout the ceaseless ages. Beloved of God, make sure each and every day that your testimony is Enoch's testimony, that you have walked with God.
Oh, with me. Nobody but you love, nobody but the Lord. No.
The lines will now be unmuted for approximately 20 seconds to show our appreciation for the speaker and his message this evening. The lines will be unmuted for 20 seconds.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you for that powerful word.
Thank you.
Amen. We will now have remarks and prayers by Reverend Dr. Frank D. Tucker, pastor of First Baptist Church.
We surely thank God this evening for this powerful experience that has been ours. We do want to thank Reverend Dr. Michael Armstrong for allowing the Lord to use him to inspire us and to strengthen us and to encourage us along the way. We certainly praise God for him and how God is using him. We want to thank God for each one of the participants in this service tonight. We certainly we're blessed by your participation and your sharing, and certainly we want to say thank you to each one of the attendees in this service. Almost 100 people here sharing in this service tonight, this time of prayer, drawing closer to God. We certainly praise God for each one of us, and let us continue lift up the name of the Lord and to worship and praise God together.
we certainly want to encourage you to come to our worship experience on the Sunday. This Sunday we are lifting up our Black History Month, and Sister Kitty Cheney will lead us off in reminding us and giving us some tips on Black history. But also this Sunday is our communion experience, and the Reverend Dr. Emmett Young III will bring the message, and we will serve communion. We do want you to be prepared on Sunday to participate in the communion experience. We trust that you have your communion elements ready at the communion time so that you can join with the First Baptist family in sharing in the communion experience. We do want you to also remember to keep our bereaved members in our family in prayer. Pray for them. Brenda Sellers and Jamal Lewis and the transitioning of their cousins that was funeralized. Brother Andrews, Deacon Andrews, and Cheryl Walker and Carla Andrews. Let us keep them in prayer also, and lift them up and assure them that we are with them. And then we certainly have sympathy and love for Evangelist Catherine Oglesby in the transitioning of her brother, Joe Lewis Butler. The homegoing celebration will be held at the Independent Church of God, 2302 Anger Place, Southeast in Washington, D.C. On Monday, February the 7th, the wake will be from 10 to 11, and it will be just a walkthrough. And the service will start at 11 a.m., and that's for family only. Let us remember Sister Oglesby in prayer. We're now going to invite you to present your prayer requests. We're going to open up the lines for 20 seconds that you might lift up the names of persons or situations that you wish us to have special prayer for. We also want you to keep Trustee Charles Ford in prayer, who is in the hospital even now. Let us pray. The lines open for 20 seconds.
Bless the Fleet family, the Jones family, the Young family, the
Williams family, the Prater family, the Martin family,
the First Baptist family,
the Marshall family, the West family, the Hess family, the Sant family, the Smith family, and their family.
And shut in, and we family,
and the poor family.
God our Father, we come just now asking that you would hear the cries of your children. You know what they have asked. You heard the names of families, of individuals, situations, and conditions. And we know, oh God, you know all about them. And so, Master, we just ask that you would bless as only you can do. We know you are a good God, and we know that you have watched over us and cared for us in days gone by. And so, God, now we come at this special moment, at this collective time, to declare that all of us are concerned about the desires of our hearts and of our minds. We ask that you would bless and keep us as only you can do. We pray special blessings for our nation, O God. You know the struggle, the trials, the challenges that that we've been faced with over the months, days, the years. And we know, God, that only you can really fix the situation. And so we ask that you would bless us in this nation and bless our community. And then, God, we ask your blessings upon our church family, oh God, that you would fortify us, you would encourage us, you would let us know that you are near and guide us as only you can do. We thank you, God, for the privilege of knowing you, and we thank you for the privilege of walking in your will and walking in your purpose, O God. We are privileged to walk with thee, and O God, we just ask that you will allow us to be with you early in the morning, late at night, and in the midday hour as well. Oh, God, help us to walk with you. Help us to call on you. Help us to be able to talk with you without ceasing, day and night. We pray, oh, God, that you would help us to be witnesses for you. Give us the insight and the strength that we might be able to declare your glory and your majesty, your power, and praise you. And then, oh God, we ask that you would help us to be a prophetic voice, oh God, that we are walking so close to you that we can speak and others will know that you are near in and about us. And so we ask, oh God, that you would bless us to walk with you. Help us, oh God, to walk in your grace and in your mercy. Keep us, oh God, and fill us up with your divine spirit that we may be the instruments in your hands for good, for peace, and hope in this world. And, oh, God, help us to walk and keep the faith, to stay in touch by your grace and faith. And, oh, God, we ask that you would just be a friend to us. Help us to love you and help us to be loving to others and help us to be what you want us to be. Help us, O God, because it is our desire to please you. We want to walk so close, O God, that we please you and can sense the joy, the peace that abounds in our hearts. We want to feel it, oh God. We want to know that you are near. Thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for how you watched over us. Thank you for how you've blessed us already, the doors that you open up for us, the ways that you have made for us. Thank you for your saving grace and your delivering mercy. Thank you for your healing. We said, thank you, God, because you have been so good and so marvelous to us. May we feel your presence, know you are near, and walk in your strength and power as only you can provide for us. In the blessed name of Jesus the Christ, we do pray, and our soul says, amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you and grant unto you his peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.